the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 28th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. The Carpenters Union is going to bat for unpaid Nebraska workers at an Amazon facility. More on that from Eric Gladys.
Some 140 workers at an Amazon distribution center in Papillon have still not been paid for 2 weeks of work done in August. Dan Ruskowski with the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters says workers are owed approximately $500,000 in wages and benefits. He says after 1 week's paychecks were held up, a superintendent assured workers they would be paid the following week and urged them to keep working.
So they did, and they worked another week. The superintendent came up to them with no explanation, no reason behind it, and said, IMI is out of money. Sorry, but last week and this week we cannot pay you, and walked off.
IMI Material Handling Logistics was contracted by Honeywell Intelligrated for work at the Amazon Distribution Center, originally set to open this year. Soon after IMI left, another subcontractor, RPM Installation LLC, continued the project of installing conveyors using different workers. Ruskowski says Amazon and its subcontractors have been silent after the union requested that workers be paid. Neither Amazon nor its subcontractors have responded to a request for comment.
Oregon has officially axed a gas-fired power plant near the Columbia River. Eric Gandalf has more.
The Oregon Energy Facility Siting Council terminated the site certificate for their proposed perennial wind chaser station in Umatilla County. Audrey Leonard is with Columbia Riverkeeper and says the decision is a victory for the climate.
If built, the facility would have been one of the largest greenhouse gas emitters in Oregon. Over its 30-year life cycle, the plant would have emitted at least 30 million tons of greenhouse gas pollution, which means it also would have locked the state into 30 more years of reliance on fracked gas.
Plans for the plant date back to 2015. Since then, Perennial Power Holdings, the company behind the plant, has struggled to find a buyer for the power that would be generated. Since it was first announced, the state has committed to strong climate goals. In 2020, Governor Kate Brown directed state agencies to cut carbon emissions in Oregon by 80% within the next 3 decades.
And Hurricane Ian became a major Category 3 storm Tuesday and will continue to strengthen as it approaches Florida. Ian made landfall about 4:30 Tuesday in western Cuba, just southwest of La Coloma. NBC News reports the hurricane now is in the southeastern Gulf of Mexico. It is moving toward Florida at 10 miles an hour and growing stronger. Tropical force storm winds are expected across Florida's southern peninsula late Tuesday, reaching hurricane force Wednesday, when the hurricane's eye is projected to make landfall. This is PNS. Evictions are on the rise in Virginia after numerous protections provided by federal and state rental assistance programs have ended.
According to the Richmond Eviction Lab, the number of renters in Virginia fearing eviction during the first quarter of 2022 was 58%, almost double from the fourth quarter of 2021. Christy Mara with the Virginia Poverty Law Center says a perfect storm of evictions has been brewing for some time now. She says tenants' protections have practically evaporated over the last few months, but identifies an important one remaining.
The tenant still has what we call a right of redemption, which simply means they have the right to pay everything they owe the landlord up until 48 hours before the sheriff comes, and they have to stop that eviction. In most cases, there are a few exceptions to that for tenants who rent from small-time mom-and-pop landlords.
Numerous landlords have filed eviction cases to be prosecuted over what advocates say are unrealistic periods of time. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And the U.S. is now talking with several nations as part of an emerging framework for trade policy.
The Indo-Pacific Economic Framework involves more than a dozen countries and has four negotiating pillars. While there are motivations to move away from standard trade ideals, Steve Supan of the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy says influence from large agribusiness firms still might complicate things. Pesticides is one of them.
Some of the IPEF countries have pesticide policies that are rejecting U.S. imports that have pesticide residues on horticulture and grain exports.
He predicts that will lead to calls for the elimination of zero-tolerance policies, with companies arguing they'll disrupt the delivery of food. The Pesticide Action Network says the U.S. already has lax pesticide rules, and states like Iowa do not strongly enforce existing guidelines. It says that impacts a farmer's health and food safety. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Mary Sherman lets us know Ohioans are encouraged to participate in a new national challenge to improve their health as well as the lives of others.
During the Sober October event, people of legal drinking age can pledge to abstain from alcohol for a month while raising money to help people in recovery. Louise Frazier is with Smart Recovery, a nonprofit program that includes a network of support groups in Ohio and other states. He says 1 in 4 Americans reported increased alcohol use during the pandemic.
People were isolated. They were without their normal support. They were maybe bored and not going to work. So all these things contributed to people using alcohol more and some of them getting into trouble as a result.
17% of Ohio adults reported excessive alcohol use in 2020, according to the CDC.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported are on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.